Welcome to the Coconuts Podcast. Today is September 4th, 2020. The Coconuts Podcast delivers impactful, weird, and wondrous reporting by journalists on the ground in 8 cities: Singapore, Bangkok, Hong Kong, Manila, Jakarta, Kuala Lumpur, Yangon, and Bali. Listen to headline news and insightful interviews on matters large and small, designed for people located in or curious about Southeast Asia and Hong Kong. I'm Vim Shanmugam.
And I'm Summer Lee.
Yay!
Yay!
Hi, Summer.
Hi.
Hi, Summer. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
Good. How's your week been?
Oh my God. Okay. So personal news. I just found out this morning that I have become an aunt for the first time. I mean, I knew my cousin was pregnant, but you know, she has delivered the baby. Wow.
So cute.
Yeah.
Is as your younger sibling, older sibling?
This is my cousin. So it's like technically not, am I his nephew? Like, is he my nephew? Okay. Yeah. So it's my cousin's baby. So I don't care. I'm just going to call him my nephew.
Yeah,
but yeah,
that works.
Yeah, but so they're in Perth, and so I don't know when I might be able to go and visit them, but yay!
Oh my gosh, but yeah, I know, going to visit someone. Remember those days?
Remembering just like going to the airport. I can't believe we have one of those. I don't remember what it looks like. Can't wait to go and see.
Yeah, I know. Just smelling the airport again. I know how gross that might seem, but just smelling the airport scents, I think.
That Changi signature scent, the new Eau de Parfum by Changi, you know? Got to bottle that shit up.
Oh my gosh.
Just spray it around the house.
Is that our side hustle? Like making like perfumes?
We're just giving them ideas at this point. They should pay us.
Yeah, perfumes that we've like missed, scents that we've missed.
Yeah, and you know, here in Singapore, we have this Ion Orchard mall, and yeah, there's a specific smell. I don't know what it is, but it is the Ion Orchard smell, you know? So like, I don't know, we just miss the smells of places, just going to places and smelling it, you know?
It's a smell of greed and regret.
Capitalism. Yum, yum.
But we have a great show today. We obviously have like our top stories, but we also have two special guests, Hanley Hoffer and Marissa True. They host a local podcast, a Singapore podcast called Just So We're Clear. And they talk about everything pretty much, having open conversations about modern women in Asia. They talk about mental health, sexuality, social issues, pop culture, anything that's taboo, they go and chat about it. So I think they'll be really interesting people to talk to in a bit.
Mm-hmm. All the important stuff.
All the important stuff.
Yay, that's IMDA approved, I think.
Maybe.
We'll see. We'll ask them about it. Wear your love for coconuts on your sleeve. Our logo tees are available now on the Coconut Shop. Visit shop.coconuts.co. And our top stories for the week. We start off in Manila. Ooh, so just check out this headline. Zoom meeting gone wrong. Captain and staff resign after caught having sex during call. Oh my God. Ma'am, sir. So yeah, a lot of people have complained that Zoom calls are tedious, but the people of Das Marinas City in Cavite have had a different experience. So they saw their village captain, you guys have village captains, having sex with his treasurer in an online conference call broadcast recently. As a result, Jesus Estil and the employee he was having carnal relations with have resigned. The city's Association of Barangay Village Captains announced today. So yeah, Jorge Magno, the president of the association, told radio station DZBB that Estil and the woman have left their posts to soothe angry constituents. And yeah, he also says Estil is asking for understanding and patience over what happened. Not sure you'll get that, but why? Here's my whole question. Why?
Oh my goodness. One job, right? Like just one job of like being in a Zoom meeting. But I feel like this is the era of like Zoom faux pas. I mean, the whole year we've seen so many of these like cute little stories.
Cute. Okay, sure. But yeah, in this situation, residents got a hold of the video, a copy of which they sent to the media. So like television show Tutok Tulfo reported that as a consequence, scandalized elderly residents demanded that Estil resign from his post. Well, they got what they wanted, but also, no, scandalized elderly residents.
Terrible, terrible. And I'm also like, I mean, what was the like logistics or the thought behind it? You know, like why like risk it?
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I don't know, is this like a new style of like voyeurism or, you know?
Yeah, maybe he's into that. They're into that. But okay, you do you. But, you know, come on, man, when there are cameras at risk. So just looking at this report, it says at one point, the village chairman was seen turning his cell phone's camera off, unaware that another camera was documenting his misdeeds.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, no. Why do you have two cameras on, sir?
Two angles. You know, you need to cut to, you know, the action.
It's not like live TV. Okay.
Yeah, maybe it's like a new thing, you know, live sex tapes. Like, you know, obviously we've seen like the era of sex tapes where they're like found, quote unquote. But now you have live. It's the era of live TV. So
yeah, and season like 'tis the season for like OnlyFans content, and it's like, I don't know, is this why he's doing like OnlyFans content? You know, just to get the different angles,
get the followers, get the views.
Mm-hmm. Work it, but okay, not in public, man.
Definitely not something that anyone should try anytime soon. Well, from sensual Zoom meetings, we're gonna go to something quite interesting. So basically, a taxi driver in Bangkok was fined 1,000 baht for tricking out his ride with a canopy of sacred wood vines. Basically saying that they would like give him blessings and the passengers that he drove around blessings. But yeah, the inside of his cab basically looked like Baby Groot sprawled all over. Yeah, he was fined under the Section 12 Vehicle Act by the Land Transport Department that said that he could potentially harm his passengers. So if you look at the photos that were sent out, it really does look like he planted a tree and it took root inside his cab, which in its own way was already like a really cool, I don't know how he did it. Like, you know, that in itself, like, it's like effort, man, A for effort.
Yeah, man, like those gotta take root. Like, how long is that gonna, like, I don't know. And I'm just looking at the photos and it's all like clinging up to the ceiling and everything.
Yeah.
It looks amazing. It looks like an episode of, I don't know, Enchanted. Is that? No, wait. Once Upon a Time. I don't know. It looks like the backdrop of Once Upon a Time. It's beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it actually looks pretty cool. So, but yeah, but you got 1,000 baht fine and poor tree and vines have been removed. So, well, you know, to each his own.
Yeah, but I guess those sacred vines couldn't protect him from the police.
They weren't so holy after all.
Oh, no. But yeah, over in Bali, a Singaporean national claims he was extorted and held captive in a Bali hotel, and police are investigating. So yeah, they're reportedly looking to the claims of the Singaporean national who said he was extorted and held captive for 6 days by the owner of a hotel in Uluwatu. Mm. And the alleged victim, a 36-year-old Singaporean banker identified as PRV, filed a report against the man identified as MA at the South Kuta sub-precinct last Friday. So PRV's legal representative, Rady Nobel, told local media outlets that his client had been staying in Bali since February, during which time he had stayed at a number of hotels across the island. So PRV had been staying at the hotel in question, the name of which has not been disclosed, for about a month, and he claimed to have been locked up in the last week. So yeah, so MA asked him to invest 350 million Indonesian rupiah, that's around 23,000 in USD, into a property which PRV refused. And yeah, so after that, the refusal angered MA and PRV was moved into a room in the lower level of the hotel and locked from the outside.
Oh, goodness and gracious.
Yeah, during the 6 days of captivity, MA continued to ask for money, and the amount of which gradually decreased until PRV eventually agreed to give him 150 million Indonesian rupiah out of fear and pressure. What?
Oh, wow. But how was he even in Bali? Like, how was he just like holidaying and then he just ended up like with this, I mean, being stuck there for the last like few months? But that is kind of crazy though. Like, I mean, I have heard of a lot of these like kind of investment scams. In these sort of, not just, you know, I don't want to say that it's just Bali, but like in a lot of these like coastal Asian countries, like, you know, invest in like hotels or like beachside property and all this stuff, but nothing ever gets like built or made, or things are just like stopped halfway.
Yeah, but getting locked in a hotel, like when you refuse to, you know, engage in an episode of Property Brothers, like that's kind of weird.
It's like next level.
Yeah, man.
It's like Property Brothers meets Saw.
You want to play a game? Try saying no again. Yeah, he gets like locked up to a lower level, like he's just going through the whole building. It really is like a game of Saw.
It's like, Yeah, he's still in Bali with the authorities, right?
Yep.
Well, speaking about Singapore, our next story is from Singapore, and this one is we're not gonna sway anyone, but our favorite manpower minister, Josephine Teo, tears up over workers in latest emotional display. So Singapore's manpower minister, Josephine Teo, cried in parliament yesterday while addressing jobs and workers affected by the recession. She's the latest politician in the last few months and a couple of years, actually, that has emotionally displayed tears for certain situations. The most recent one being Lawrence Wong, when he was talking about paying tribute to the COVID-19 frontliners. Now, for those people who don't know about Josephine Teo, she's quite a controversial figure. We'll get into that later on. But basically, she said, please know that you two are always in our hearts, speaking about all the workers. However long this storm lasts, the MOM will walk the journey with you. However tough it may be, we will help you bounce back. Cheer. And yeah, so I guess like her little performance was, well, I shouldn't say performance, quote unquote performance, was met with some interesting responses by the public. One poster on Facebook said, congratulations to Minister Josephine Teo for an award-winning performance in Parliament yesterday. Yeah, so I think there was a bit of interesting feedback. There were a lot of memes that like popped up.
She is
highly, highly memeable. For people who don't know about Josephine Teo, she's probably, would you agree that she's probably one of the most memeable, quotable ministers in recent times?
I would think so. She does have some very interesting opinions. She famously said in response to somebody who asked, are you going to apologize to the migrant workers? She kind of said they didn't demand for an apology. So
yeah, because she didn't meet any one of them, right? And this was a point where they were all kind of like being quarantined.
Yeah, and this was in response to, like, you know, the kind of outbreak in migrant worker dorms. So, I don't know, it's kind of not something I would want to hear from, like, the Ministry of Manpower. And, like, you know, the fact that she has just publicly displayed that she doesn't know how an apology works. But that's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, she's obviously, her most infamous statement was about you only need a small space to have sex. When she was talking about how people were complaining about rising home costs and not being able to afford children and, you know, needing rooms for them and all that stuff. And she just basically took it completely out of context and said, well, actually, you just need a small space. You don't need a big space. In fairness, I guess she's kind of right.
Is she though? But, you know, it's just like, you know, we just know, like, the salaries of minister, we know a ballpark figure. So it's like a bit weird for coming from her, you know? Yeah. Knowing full well that she's probably living in a big house, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, it is. I think like she's the sincerity, let's say, was questioned by the public. So yeah, Josephine Teo, one of our beloved ministers.
Ha ha. And yeah, over in Jakarta, a TikTok user apologizes for a video suggesting that an unkempt neighborhood is haunted. But yeah, this Indonesian TikTok user had to deal with the police after she posted a video implying that a neighborhood in Banjarbaru, South Kalimantan, was haunted. So this TikTok user, identified by initials NB, recently posted a video in which she's driving through a decrepit, unkempt neighborhood featuring houses with overgrown foliage, like a scene taken right out of The Last of Us. And yeah, so as she did not notice a single inhabitant throughout her drive, she theorized that the neighborhood had been abandoned because it's either haunted or a crime haven. But yeah, it turned out the neighborhood was not abandoned. And after the video went viral, actual people who were living in the neighborhood complained to the local police, prompting the latter to post a copy of the video and labeling it a hoax.
Yeah, the poor people, they're like, come on, bro, like, we live here.
Yeah, dude, just because you don't catch me watering my yard, like, the time you were driving doesn't mean nobody's here. But yeah, so the local police actually invited NB to meet with the inhabitants of the neighborhood and to apologize for a video proving that, you know, they were indeed real people who were living there. What solution?
I like how that's a thing, like, to prove that, yeah, we're not ghosts. Like, this is not a haunted place. That is like the new normal, I guess, that we have fallen to in this age.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like, you know, these TikTokers, like I guess like in TikTokers, like they're always looking for different types of ways to create content, right? So I guess this is just a new format.
It's so weird. It's like, I love that the people that come out and be like, yes, we live here and I am a human. Do you want to touch my arm? No, I don't know that the last part happened, but you know.
Yeah, like the authorities had to like prove it to the TikToker. That's so weird to me that
Yeah.
that's the age that we live in. Well, for our final story and our top story of the week, we go to Singapore. Sex positive NUS group cancels BDSM workshop after participants got doxxed.
Oh
NUS
no.
being the National University of Singapore, organizers of a BDSM related online discussion for university students say they canceled the event yesterday after personal information was exposed via an online petition accusing them of promoting sexual violence. Basically, a group at NUS called T Freedom had an event called the Rope Bondage Zoom Sharing event that they had it set up for. And this really was to get people to know more about what rope bondage is, to learn about the consensual nature of it and the safety parts of it. But it was taken out of context and people thought they were promoting sexual violence. There was an online petition that came about, and everyone started like, you know, saying that this is wrong, this is like a terrible thing, and yeah, and you know, all the doxing started happening, and some of the members' like personal info was shared, and so basically they just said, "Hey, look, we're not going to do this anymore," in fear of, you know, the mental health and safety of their members. Yeah, they were accused of glamorizing bondage sex and creating dangerous fetishes. So yeah, it was a controversial thing, and yeah, it's been now taken down. There's a counter petition now called "Stop Censoring Sexual Discourse at NUS," which has already drawn like 1,700 signatures. T Freedom's not part of it, but yeah, like there's people on both sides, so it's kind of a controversial thing. But I think largely they didn't stop it because they didn't feel that it was wrong, but I think they stopped it because they were afraid that because their members got doxxed, that they didn't want them to be in any danger, if at all.
Yeah, and isn't like doxing a freaking crime here in Singapore?
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. So I feel like that, like, you know, there's like a two double-edged sword, because I mean, BDSM technically, or BDSM workshops and events and stories, or even just like talking about that, I think is fine, right? Like, I think that's
Yeah.
not, as long as it's, you know, it's consensual, and you know, everything, all the safety measures are put in place, I think people can openly like chat about them. It's not like regarded as pornography or any of that. So yeah, so it's kind of a weird like double standard, if you may.
Yeah, and I don't know, this is just a glaring, you know, confirmation that there is need for like more sex, better sex education. Like, why would you see BDSM and, you know, automatically like equate that with sexual violence? Like, no, the whole point of BDSM is consent. That is the thing. In this household, we do not kink shame, but yeah, the base of it is just consent. So we do need better sex education, just saying.
We do. And I think like more diverse knowledge, I think like that's the biggest thing. I think the counter group is trying to promote that, you know, there is variety, there's diversity, and basically just promoting sex positivity.
I'm just saying that this rope bondage Zoom sharing organizers, you know, they kind of had to explain that it was about discourse, not intercourse. It's not that they're holding a giant sex party. Like the fact that they needed to even explain that, I don't know. Oh my gosh.
I know, right? Like, that's so, yeah. I mean, but that's the way I feel a lot of these situations are taken. Like, you see one thing and you're like, I completely disagree with that, so we're just gonna go against that. So
Yeah.
yeah,
Ugh.
not fun. Hopefully you know, the members are safe, and maybe along the line, somewhere down along the line, they're able to do the event. Cool. So we're going to go to our guests of the day. Summer, we have a couple of great guests today. Are you excited?
Yes.
Conley Hoffer and Marissa True from Just So We're Clear. And they're here online.
Woo, hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Hi. How are you all?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we're pretty good today. I'm doing great.
Yeah, things are looking back up.
How's Marissa doing?
I'm all right, for once.
No. Is there a story behind that? Just that you're okay for once?
No, it's more just that it's been a very turbulent year. And Hannah said that to me yesterday, that my life's been strangely dramatic. And I've never been one for drama. So it's kind of strange trying to own that brand suddenly.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but apart from her being great today, we're just really happy to be here on this podcast with you guys. So thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for coming on. Yeah, we're excited to hear more about Just So We're Clear, and obviously more about you guys. And so maybe you can start off with just telling us more about both of you for our listeners who don't know you guys, and how you started the podcast and what it is.
You know what, Marissa? I'll let you go first. Give yourself like an introduction.
Oh, the high profile one. I get it.
Yeah.
We know who's really the star here.
No.
So my background, like, hi guys, I'm Marissa. My background is actually in content and marketing and journalism. I'm actually a professional writer by trade. And I guess, I don't know. I don't really know how to describe myself. This is a challenge that we had on our own podcast when people tell us to describe
yourself. Like, how do you introduce yourself?
Yeah, how do you introduce yourself?
Well, you did a good job. I mean, Marissa, she's downplaying herself, but Marissa is by trade a writer. And I always say this, but because of that, because she's been exposed to so many types of stories and industries, girl just knows and has a lot of opinions about everything under the sun. And Marissa and I have been friends for years. And I kind of think that our just natural curiosity and the way that we banter, we were like, hey, let's get together and do a podcast. And I, on the other hand, I'm Hanley. I've been working in media for 6 or several years now. And I think we just kind of reached a point where we realized that we were just sharing a lot of thoughts and opinions about everything. And we were like, hey, let's record ourselves and make a thing out of it. Isn't that how most podcasts start?
Yeah, I guess that's how we started ours. We're like, yeah, sure, news. But, you know, I got a lot of shit to say, so I'm going to do it.
I was sabot, okay? So it's a bit different.
Vim was held here against his will. I can confirm it. But yeah, look where we are now. Isn't he like Vim, aren't you just enjoying every single week right now? Your Thursdays and Fridays are just filled with joy. Just waiting for the next episode.
I do. Today will be fun, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess we'll talk a bit about your podcast. So it's called Just So We're Clear. And can I just ask, what are some of the topics you guys talk about on your podcast?
Oh, anything and everything. So essentially, like Hanley said, the crux of it is that we're extremely curious people. And so when we were having conversations, whether it was over a glass of wine or even, you know, if we're at the gym having a workout and just opening up to each other, it was always topics that were highly relevant to just being a young woman in Asia. And it spanned everything from, you know, sexual health, mental health, societal issues. I mean, we even did an episode on Black Lives Matter in our first season, because that was just what was so prevalent at the time. And at the same time, we profile a lot of just interesting people. So we had a lot of focus on making sure that we wanted to speak to people and hear their thoughts. They weren't necessarily influencers. They were just people who were influential in their own right.
Yeah, I think like the term we kept saying whenever we profile people is that they're sort of influential without having to prove their influence.
Yeah, so about your fault.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because somewhere along the lines, we've just really been craving real stories and perspectives from just real people. So that's one of the things that we want to bring on with the show. But yeah, like Marissa said, we really cover everything under the sun. Some of the main topics that kind of keep coming up just naturally, of course, is like the female perspective, like womanhood and everything that happens with that. Because you know, it's a trip.
In 2020.
Oh my God, girl, go on.
Girl.
So yeah, we're kind of like covering everything under the sun, but of course, in just like a little relatable, you know, spice and ourselves.
Yeah, we're not really boasting any sort of expertise. We're just trying to be like your friends in the background who are curious about the same things that you are. And then we just go find an expert to actually teach us about it.
Mm. But yeah, I guess like, you know, in the year of our Lord 2020, a lot of topics have come up. And I guess recently race has been the hot topic. And I guess just in Singapore, of course, we've done some digging on you guys. Vim knows you guys. So Hanley, you're half German and half Chinese. Am I right?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. And Marissa, you are half British and half Chinese?
No, I'm actually half Indonesian Singaporean.
Ah, my bad. Half Indonesian Singaporean. Cool.
The British side is correct.
Like I see. Oh, I see. Okay, I love it. But yes, I'm fully Chinese, so I should not be doing this. I'm sorry, I'll stop right now. But yeah, I guess, what do you think about the topics of representation in Singapore? Like, how does it affect you? How do you feel about your place in society?
Just being anything that isn't the majority in a country like Singapore, the topic of representation is so important. And I think, like, you know, in general, anyone who kind of sees this as like a forward-thinking mindset, like you must have representation to proceed almost anywhere in life, I feel. But growing up in Singapore, being mixed race, you know, I think you have a lot of question marks of where you fit in. I mean, regardless of what your mixes are, you're just kind of going through a predominantly, I guess, like Chinese culture, trying to see where you stand. And so that definitely has a play in our perspective of who we are as adults. And it does come across in our conversations as well. And just this kind of like ongoing question mark when it comes to identity around culture and race.
Yeah. And I think in terms of the bigger picture, looking beyond Singapore, one of the reasons we started this podcast was because, I mean, as avid podcast listeners ourselves, we were looking for content that was coming from the UK or the US or Australia. It was never really homegrown. So we never really found our voices being heard or our perspectives being shared or conveyed in like a relatable way. So we sort of thought, well, if they're not going to do it, like, why don't we do it? Why don't we represent ourselves a little bit? And obviously, we're not going to be the voice for absolutely everybody out there. But if there's anything we've learned, it's that being third culture kids or being half, we sort of have like a foot in each door, and we can sort of relay the messages and the cultural relevance of our topics across both sides.
Has that been, would you say like that has been like more difficult? Has that been sort of an easier journey in recent time?
I mean, I don't really see it as difficult or easy, because at the end of the day, we're not really trying to negotiate our identity. We're just serving it on a platter and being like, take it or leave it. And I guess growing up and traveling between, you know, two different kinds of cultural home, but never really fitting in either, it makes you a bit more versatile. I wouldn't say it's been it's like a double-edged sword, maybe.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially with everything that's been going on in recent times, like Marissa said, like this whole double-edged and being able to see both sides and kind of understanding things from two different angles, it carries on. And I think that, yeah, like she said, it's not good or bad. It just is. So we're just trying to harness that, I guess, and kind of own it and see how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I guess in Singapore, we do pride ourselves on our diversity. But I guess like most of the representation in media, as a Chinese person, I can tell you, yeah, I see a lot of, you know, myself being represented in maybe local media. So yeah, I think we would really appreciate like diverse points of view.
Yeah, the way I see it is we don't have adequate representation just by virtue of us being part Asian. Because at the end of the day, you can't really just switch out one homogenous group for another. Like, for example, if we're dealing with overly white media, we can't substitute it with, I don't know, in Singapore's example, overly Chinese media. Like, if we're not representing diversity at every single step of the way, we're just switching out dominant groups. And that's never really going to start any real progress unless we make every voice is heard at all points.
Yeah, I guess what's been really interesting with our podcast journey as well is that, yes, we are taking our cultural mixed background heavily into the birth of it, because we were like, you know what, we've got all these opinions. We are the question mark of like, where do we fit in? Like, let's just own it and just start asking questions and putting it out there. But what's been really amazing is that the feedback we get from our listeners, taking race completely out of the question, we get like, a lot of messages of people who are just like, wow, we totally relate to what you guys are going through and your thoughts and stuff. So also from us, from a personal standpoint, like, take race out of it. Like, we are just, you know, a lot of the thoughts that we didn't know were being or didn't feel were being represented out there are actually received. And that's so rewarding.
Yeah. Like it's what widespread, no matter who they are, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I was just listening to your podcast just now. Beautiful. Oh, and yeah, you guys had that doctor on to talk about fetishes. Absolutely. Oh. I'm loving the content. How was that? How was talking to a doctor, you know, just about fetishes?
Oh my God. We felt so vanilla, girl. Like, yeah. Like listening to Dr. Martha, like,
How come I don't have a fetish?
Like, do I? that was so much fun, so eye-opening. And yeah, thank you so much for tuning into that. It's so fascinating, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We're learning along on the journey through the guests we get in. And this is, I mean, what we did with season two, this is going to be a reoccurring theme of it becoming a lot more educational and not just us like talking about things that we honestly don't have experience or knowledge on.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, when it comes to the topic of, say, in this case, fetishes, we are not qualified to offer any advice. We're only qualified to ask questions because I'm sure the questions we've asked are the same ones that everyone's got in their mind, because it's just an unknown topic. It's not really something we discuss, but it's something we're all curious about.
Yeah.
But I think the Asian flair to it, I think, really, really helps as well, you know, because I think these are all topics that a little maybe, I don't know, like, would you say that like they're a little bit more taboo-ish or maybe not as openly spoken about? Like in,
oh, 100%.
Because I mean, one of the reasons we loved Dr. Martha was the fact that she actually created an online sex conference because of the fact that sexuality in Asia wasn't represented at all. So she put herself at the forefront of it.
Yeah, and she said this thing and she was like, I'm so tired of being the only Asian in the room. And we were like, yes, yeah, we love you.
Surprise, surprise, breaking news, everybody. Asians have sex too. And they also have questions.
Just in Singapore, we're constantly being criticized about, you know, our dwindling birth rate and how we just reported, you know, the news that this sex positive NUS group, sorry, that's a national university in Singapore, they had to cancel a BDSM workshop because they were accused of, you know, promoting sexual violence. I feel like there's just generally a need to talk about these topics in the open and, yeah, without being shy about it, Asians.
Yeah, no, because I mean, I once famously or infamously quoted... was quoted as saying that Singaporeans were like the pandas of Southeast Asia because we weren't giving birth. And everyone was looking at us trying to be like, come on, guys, make a baby.
You guys remember the National Day song? We literally had a song telling us to go get laid. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, if that's not something.
Like, it was basically like, have sex, everyone, responsibly.
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
Was that a real thing?
It's you. Oh, the Mentos National Day song. You guys don't know it?
I don't know. No.
Like okay. You have to check it out. It's a thing. It was out there. And basically the song is like, go get laid.
But in those exact words.
Pretty much. But we need to acknowledge that, you know, our sexual health is a huge part of being human. So why are we not being able to just have like a casual conversation around it without having to it seem like we're promoting any type of, I don't know, shame or guilt that comes around something which is so natural. Like, why is this conversation not out here enough?
I think it's also down to the fact that ultimately we are a very conservative society, but that's not to say people aren't having sex anyway. Like, it's stupid to basically take a workshop in this NUS example that's obviously intended to be educational and also in a practice that's often unsafe if people don't understand it, I'm assuming because it was BDSM. Like, it's the same way denying, like, pushing the message of abstinence as your key birth control strategy rather than educating people about condoms and the pill and whatever else. Like, it's not going to be effective. If you want people to have kids, they need to feel comfortable in talking about sex in the first place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude, if we're going to look at America as an example, like in the states that teach abstinence in the school curriculum, they kind of have the highest rates of teenage pregnancy, my friend. So they kind of don't work.
Yeah, we went the other way.
Yeah.
We went the total other way. We were like, guys, have sex. But like, look at this really cute kitty cartoon as to why.
I had to watch those when I was a kid, so.
Yeah, and I could be wrong about this, but I kind of vaguely remember, like, you know, our MRT trains, they were kind of decked out in, I don't know, very suggestive, not really suggestive, I don't know, it was just a bunch of sperm.
I know like, exactly what you're talking like not, about.
Yeah, just like not actual sperm. My friend
okay, but, yeah. Because honestly, like that leaves a very weird image. If you say that our MRTs is decked out in sperm.
I was like, what just happened? Like, I was like, there needs to be some clarity on this. I
mean, yes, that is my bad.
Like, that is the most avant-garde PSA if I've ever heard of one. But I do know exactly what you're talking about, because I remember going into the MRT station and seeing these giant cartoon sperm and cartoon eggs plastered all over the place. And it was like, yeah, check your fertility and make sure you're still fertile. And I was like, oh my God.
That's one way to do it. Great job, government.
That is hilarious.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the comical nature of it, right?
Yeah. And I don't know. For a government ad, I'm like kind of shocked, also kind of impressed. Like, good job.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, right? Like, when for a lot of people, when you bring up sex, it's a naturally funny, it's a very entertaining topic, especially in a society that's afraid to talk about it. Because you can almost feel the discomfort in the air when it's addressed, right?
Yeah.
So you have, you know, two Eurasian women who start a podcast and just go, hey, guys, let's start off with fetishes. Like, we're not really giving you we're not letting you dip your toe in the pool. We're just jumping straight in.
Mm-hmm. You know what? If they won't do it, you will.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, love it.
But it seemed really, really well received. What do you guys, like, sort of, what's the next, like, season? You can, like, tease us on what the next season is going to be.
Yeah, so one of the things that we just want to promote through our podcast, it's just open conversation, right? So one of the guests that we're having coming up on this, her name is Andrea, and she is a huge advocate for Singapore's LGBTQ scene. She is openly transgender. And we had this like amazing chat with her about her experience as being a openly transgender woman, model, businesswoman in Singapore. And guys, it was so eye-opening and it was just so brilliant to have her on. So that's something that we're pushing. We also have Nadia Hutalagong coming up in our next episode. She's talking about a charity that she just opened called We the Good. So we're kind of like swaying, you know, we've got a little goodness in there. Like, yeah, we're talking about sexuality and fetishes, and we're also talking about the LGBTQ experience, but we're also talking about, you know, charity. Yeah. Philanthropy.
That's awesome. Yeah, we actually did have feature Andrea recently. Well, not recently, like last year, I think. On a sit down and really, really captivating personality for sure.
Love her.
We also have our friend Alan Wong. So we do a lot of like men versus women conversation.
Love our it. Friend. You mean our friend.
Yeah. Still your friend?
Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of Alan, I mean, this is like a tangent, but Justin's back. Justin's in quarantine right now. So if you need to
keep that man in quarantine.
Fair enough.
I say that as his friend, though. So
he's like, it's for his own good.
Keep him in there.
We'll cut this part out. He's sensitive. I'm just kidding.
So we have a lot of exciting guests coming up just within the next month. So I hope that you guys, you know, tune in when it's shared.
Definitely. Very, very excited. But I think that's about it, guys. Like, thanks for like jumping in, spending some time with us, letting us know a little bit more about yourselves and obviously your podcast. We heard clips from the first season, and obviously Summer has just subscribed.
Huge fan.
I will as well. So and all of you Coconut listeners, please jump on. Just so we're clear, with Hanley Hoffer and Marissa True. Anything else you guys want to plug before we say goodbye?
I feel like we covered it all, but you know, go hit those like, subscribe, whatever, follow buttons. Yeah. Now we're basically YouTubers. Every time we say that, we're like, don't forget that like button. Yeah. But you know, we're just really appreciative for anyone that takes some time to check us out. And so thank you for, you know, giving us a moment to share what we're doing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
That was a really fun chat with the ladies. Mm-hmm. That's a podcast that we can definitely subscribe to.
Yeah, man. Like, they talk about issues that are not usually covered. So we love it. We love diverse voices.
Yeah. And I think it's good that they're young, intelligent, you know, women that have like, you know, great opinions and, mm-hmm. you know, I think the learning, I do enjoy a lot of podcasts that where you're learning as well. You know, one of my favorites is How Stuff Works. Mm. And yeah, it's just basically How Stuff Works. And I think,
spoiler alert.
with just so we're clear, I think we get that same sort of feeling, like you learn something new in terms of like social issues. Obviously, like, you know, there are true, strong women as well. So I think that already gives an amazing perspective to the stories. Yeah, I think that's about it, Summer, for today. I think that's a pretty packed podcast.
Mm-hmm. It was informative. It was entertaining, hopefully. Give you a girl who can do both.
We had good stories, good guests. Next week should be just as exciting. So that's it for this week. Thanks, guys. Okay. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support Coconut and our weird and wondrous stories, you can become a Coco Plus member at coconuts.co/membership. Make a patron payment at coconuts.co/patron or buy our fresh merch at the Coconut Shop at shop.coconuts.co.
Subscribe to the podcast and leave reviews. Tell us how you feel and what you like and don't like. We're excited to hear from you.
The Coconuts Podcast is a Coconuts Media production. Our hosts are Vim Shamugam and Summer Lee. Our executive producer is Byron Perry. Our production manager is Clarissa Cortez. Our editor is Raina Lim.